Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. We're approaching 7:16 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on this last Saturday in May. I'm Will Stevenson, host of Galesburg's Evening News weeknights, 5 to 6 p.m. Glad to be with you this morning. I'll also be here next Saturday morning as well. So we've got a couple of weeks of conversations planned for you that I think you'll want to listen to, especially this morning. Our second hour, I think, is going to be really fun. We're going to be talking to Jeannie Hanna. You may remember her name if you went through the grade school in Abingdon for any of a number of a couple of decades. She was a librarian there and then went on to be a librarian at Gales School in Galesburg for a few years and had some other jobs. She collected a lot of things that the kids said, if you'll recall, kids say the darndest things, if you will, and she collected a lot of those things and put them together in a book that she is publishing and has a couple of book signings coming up. So that's going to be a great conversation we'll have at 8 o'clock this morning. But this hour, we have a good conversation as well. He's not authoring any books, but Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson is a good guest to have nonetheless. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I think you should publish a book sometime.
Well, I don't know. In my spare time and in all those extra hours I have.
I think the Scott Erickson story would be one that tens of people would want to read it.
You don't want to set that goal too high. That bar might be a little up there.
Yeah, but, I'm a little too optimistic. But you know, if you charge enough for the book, people will pay for it, and before long,
I could be on the discount rack at Barnes and Noble, and
yeah, the Barnes and Nobles that are left anyway.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You'll be a thousandaire before you know it.
Woohoo!
Well, glad you're here this morning, and nonetheless, book or no book. How are things going in the office these days?
Well, we're heading towards our slow time, if we actually have any slow time.
Is there such a thing as a slow time in the clerk's office?
It means I only have to work about 50 hours a week instead of the 90 hours that we're normally putting in.
I hear that, yeah.
Yeah, we've got through the first election process. We've gotten through the taxes. We've gotten through some of the county board stuff. So now I've got about 3 days of relax or less stress, and then we kick back into the more fun stuff.
Let's talk a little bit about the election to start here. I think you tried to pull a fast one on me on election night, because when I distinctly remember asking you on election night if there were any problems, and you said no, and then it turned out there were a couple of problems in a couple of precincts with what was on the ballot.
Oh, yeah.
Answer that. What happened?
Turn that spotlight down. My eyes are blinding.
Well, and I guess that, that may have probably, not been wasn't a big deal.
Right.
But I guess people are putting a bit of a bigger microscope these days on, every problem like that. But, that's probably had to be a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, it's just frustrating that there was a race that got off. It was for State Central Committee person, a man and woman on the Democratic ballot. Mm-hmm. And a few of the ballots didn't have that race on there somehow. So we were identified about mid-morning. And by noontime, we were able to figure out a solution, get some emergency ballots and stuff out to those precincts that were affected. And we were able to make it work and get everything through and made it happen. So
How did you find out about it? What take me back to what happened there?
In the Wayback Machine.
Take me way back to March and tell me what happened.
we get phone calls on election day all the time. Voters asking questions about, I didn't see this. Why wasn't this person on my ballot? And usually it's, you're in a different district. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff when Don was running for state rep. And when they switched the county around and moved some of the districts out, they were always like, I wanted to vote for Don.
It's referring to Don Moffitt, of course, the years he was in office, yeah.
It's like, he doesn't represent you guys anymore. You've got Noreen now. So we had a phone call that somebody said that wasn't on the ballot. Okay, we'll check it out, which is what we normally do, and found that it was off. It was like, let's figure out what we're going to do for it, and came up with the best solution because we already had voting going on. There was no way to reprint any of the ballots. So we made a little emergency ballot, went out and instructed the election judges how to handle it, and then we processed everything back in the office. So
is that something that theoretically should have been caught before election day? I imagine you can't correct everything, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. You try to go and make sure everything is correct and accurate and stuff, but things slip through and happen, and you try to avoid them, but when they do happen, you just have to come up, have a plan in place and be ready to be able to adjust and adapt. And that's what we did and be able to make it work.
What's the process by which you come up with that sort of emergency ballot and then know that it's going to be counted at the end of the night?
Well, we know it was counted at the end of the night because we counted everything back in-house.
So, by hand?
Yeah. Okay. Really old school. back in the office. So we didn't want to have to, the election judges have to any additional. I mean, they've got enough stuff going on at the close of elections to be able to bring things back to us. So it's like, we'll just make sure that it's all taken care of. We'll take care of it in-house and adjust accordingly.
The people who print the ballots, did they get involved, or did they have any sort of explanation?
It was something with the database that some fields didn't get attached somehow or something. But we went back through the master files, checked all these races, and everything was all golden. So,
did you get your money back for that?
No.
Do you ask for a refund when a mistake like that happens?
Things happen, and we adjust, we move, and we get going, and it is what it is. We hate that it happened, but you adjust, you move on, and we're all gold.
And does it give you pause, I guess, to kind of in terms of checks and balances and things for when the next election comes up?
Oh, yeah. We are very meticulous. We try to go through and you check and double check and recheck and then let it sit aside for a couple of days and go back and check it again just in case you missed something, and different sets of eyes on it to making sure that you didn't go vision blind to something, a typo or something in the thing. But it happens, and we had to just move on.
I swear there will be a point in my career where I stop talking about the 2 years I spent in Springfield. But
you were in Springfield?
Yeah, I know. It was really hard to believe for me, too. It'll be in my book.
Oh, cool.
No, not really. I recall a problem with one of the elections there, and the clerk, Don Gray, I'm sure you know, is a pretty nice guy.
I know Don Gray very well.
Pretty hardworking guy, and maybe I should have realized it given that it was Springfield, but the minute there was some problem on election day or that people weren't getting in to vote or something, that immediately the opposing party, which I think was the Democrat Party at the time, immediately just kind of, I don't want to say swooped in and made a big deal out of it. And I think it was because there weren't enough ballots.
Yeah, that was the year that they,
I don't see where some of these things at times are a political issue, but I worried that issue for you would end up being out the same way. But then again, we're not Springfield.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And they always say that the office is political. We have to run for re-election. I mean, that puts our accountability with the voters. But when we're doing our jobs as county clerks and election officials, you've got to kind of take that partisan hat off, and I'm doing my job, and this is how we're going to go. We've got to put parties aside and make sure you're doing the right thing. And that was the same year Don had problems. They had problems in Quincy. The same thing with ballots, F2O, even worse extent. And I'm friends with Chuck down there.
Yeah.
And to talk to him after the fact and some of the stories and the things that happened, it's just like, holy cow. That's where you get the book story out of. It was crazy.
And I think the explanation was that Don Gray had printed a number of ballots over the number that voted in the last similar election or something like that. And, I guess, while you're kind of applying logic to some of this, at the end of the day, I guess you can't over-prepare.
Right, yeah. There's in the industry, there's a theory and a formula for how you order and produce and print your ballots. You want to be able to make sure that you have enough for everybody that comes to vote. But now with same-day voter registration and different things that are going on, it's taken those theories and kind of thrown them out the window. It's just kind of a crapshoot every year of whether you're going to be able to get the right number or not. In the county, we're lucky enough that we have direct recording voting machines, the electronic touchscreens, so that if we ran out of a paper ballot, we could always roll into those touchscreen machines. And if the touchscreen machine broke down, we'd always roll back in the paper ballots. We've got a fail-safe on both ends, which allows me to get maybe an hour of sleep during that election cycle instead of no sleep. So
Well, that's good. I'm glad that the taxpayer-supported cot in your office is finally getting some use.
Yeah, 14 years and I finally got a cot. Now I have another 14 and I might get a pillow. But
Well, you know, that's you know, just don't ask for one of those expensive My Pillows.
No, we're going to start off small.
You know, like one of the $5 Walmart pillows or something, and then work your way up.
Work way up. Yeah, you gotta have goals.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny you used the word crapshoot when describing some part of an election, because I tend to think anymore that crapshoot could probably describe elections on a number of levels for various reasons. But, you know, it just never ceases to amaze me how somebody could make something a political issue when really it has very little to do with that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, our election officials take our jobs very seriously, and we don't put partisanship and politics into that. And accidents happen, mistakes happen, things happen, and just how do you react to it? Do you just ignore it and let it walk away? Do you find a proactive solution to solve the problem? And that's what we did. We took the proactive approach, found the best solution we could do, and went on. And that's the same thing Don did there in Springfield. Yeah. and Chuck and Quincy. It's, holy cow, what do we do? And those guys had some serious stuff going on because that was their only voting style. So that puts a whole nother level of stress on you. And
Do these, and we've probably talked about this before, do these things like the same-day voter registration and the way that process has changed over the years, has that made it more difficult to kind of run an election? As much as you want as many people as possible to be able to exercise their right to vote?
Absolutely, yeah. It's made it easier on the voter side of things, which is great. We want, like you said, we definitely want participation. Mm-hmm. It's your constitutional right. We want you to be able to exercise that, express your vote, your concerns, your ideas. But on the management side of things, it has exponentially increased the problems and the difficulty in running things, because now, before, when registration closed, we knew here's that number of registered voters we're going to have in these precincts. We can adjust accordingly. Now, it makes it a little more difficult, and like with the same-day registration, you have no idea if you've had 100 people, 200 people move into a community or into a township and just decide they're going to register on election day, and now I've got 200 ballots that I wasn't necessarily accounting for. Mm-hmm. How do you adjust? How do you prepare for that and don't leave yourself in a lurch? And it makes it for an interesting time when you're going through the list trying to figure out, okay, we're going to give 100 ballots for this one but only 75 for that one. Well, maybe I want to do – and then if you order too many ballots, then you've got stacks and stacks of them that come back to the courthouse, and they're wasted funds. So right. You've got to kind of play that fine line between cost effectiveness and preparedness. And
yeah. I imagine to a point it probably makes the point when you certify the results, it probably makes it all that more important, doesn't it?
Yes, it just is that bigger sense of we survived, we made it through the election part, that big sigh of relief when it's all said and then we send those reports off to Springfield. It's like, yes, we finished that part. And then 30 seconds later, okay, now we're moving on to the next election.
So you get that hour nap and then you're back at it again.
Yeah, I wish it was a whole hour, but yeah.
Well, you know, I've worried about you ever since. I'll never forget that night that the ambulance was called to the courthouse. And it turned out that you were not feeling so hot after that.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't bring that up, but you know, as for some of us who were standing in the courthouse that night, that got a little scary.
It was interesting. It was one that I will never forget. And I still get razzed from some of my fellow county clerks that it's like, oh, I remember that time that the coroner came in and when you were, you know, like, no.
There's only two elections I won't forget for various reasons. One was that one for that reason. And two, the election where Don Gray in Springfield had problems because they were running out of ballots. If for no other reason, then we had to shift our election coverage on the radio station I was working at in Springfield to severe weather because a tornado warning was issued for Springfield that night. I remember going, oh my gosh, how much worse is this night going to possibly get?
If it starts raining frogs, you know that it's time to hang it up.
The plague of locusts comes in and we're just done for.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to postpone things until tomorrow and moving on, but
fortunately, we've never had problems like that here in Galesburg on election night, at least.
No locusts, no frogs.
Yeah.
Thunderstorm warnings, though. We've had a couple.
Yeah, we've had a few of those, yeah.
well, it was a couple elections ago. We had it when we were getting ready to, the polls were getting ready to close at 7 o'clock, and some storms ran through.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some precincts judges that were calling in. It's like, what do we do? And it's like, well, if it's storming hard, stay put and stay safe and get to us when you can. And
I had some remote equipment with me in Springfield. And when the tornado warning came out and the deputies realized that it was for our part of Sangamon County, they whisked us down to the, via elevator, mind you, to the basement of the courthouse. And we were there for a little while, and somehow I was able to get on the air regardless. And our equipment, we didn't think would work in the basement. Turns out it did anyway. And then, we got ushered back up to the first floor outside of Don's office, and then we ended up being there for an obnoxious amount of time as they tried to settle the ballot mess while, you know, tornadoes are swirling all around us.
So he went to the basement for the tornado. I mean, see, we've had severe weather calls. We never left the post. We stayed and muddled through and made it work. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to have to give Don some grief about that next time
I
see him.
Well, I don't know that Don and his staff moved from where they were, but they put the rest of us down in the basement.
Safety.
I don't recall seeing Don down there, but
yeah. But, well, his entourage of security people. And
Would have been an interesting conversation had that been the case. I maybe have a couple more questions related to elections, and we'll talk about the rest of your office's operations, if you don't mind, when we come back. We need to take a break now. We're talking with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson on Galesburg Live at 7:31. We'll check news in just 1 minute with Nick Isher here on WGIL. Good morning.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
.738 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning again. I'm Will Stevenson with you this week for Galesburg Live. Glad you're with us. Again, local author, children's book author Jeannie Hanna will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, but right now we're continuing our conversation this hour with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson after that brutal grilling I just gave him about the primary election here.
Yes, I got the T-bone steak on my eye
darn it, Scott, you lied to me. It's just what it came down to is you lied to me, Scott.
It was not a lie.
I know. By the way, if you were ever on a trivia, take part in a trivia night with this guy, my gosh, he is absolutely brutal. He came up to me and gave me the worst verbal assault barrage of insults I've ever had in my life.
It was the psychological warfare that we needed to be able to have that extra advantage to try to succeed in victory.
And, I guess so.
You guys still whipped us.
You know, if there would have been a media versus elected official softball game, we probably would have been the two people going, I don't want to be out here. This is scary. I have to put on a helmet. But trivia nights. Whoo, boy. You're brutal.
It's a whole other ballgame. I got that polka category locked in.
You were pretty close to last, though, weren't you?
No, we were fourth from last.
Fourth from last? Oh, yes. That's much better than I thought you'd. Our team took second. So.
Yes, I know. And, fourth from last. We were very happy with that.
Music trivia night he had a team at, and I was on a team at for... Who was it again?
That was our church, Faith United Methodist Church.
Oh, yeah, Faith United Methodist Church had a music trivia night. Yeah, so, but I know you had, it must be difficult, though, the way you taunt other teams, because you had trouble getting a team together, didn't you?
Yes, but we were few but mighty, or few and, yeah, few and far between.
You should try using that as your team name the next time.
Few and far between. Or
yeah, something like that. Well, you had some good people on your team.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Once you get past your polka category, you're...
Yeah, and there was no polka questions at all, that thing. So that's why we were fourth from last.
Well, my problem was I wasn't much help either. You know, unless it comes up to a TV themes or game shows, I'm pretty much useless.
Oh, yeah, then you're gonna run the category on that. You are the man.
I know a little bit about early to mid-80s music, but that's about it. I did a college radio show of 80s music when I was in college, but
well, there you go.
I've forgotten more than I remember now.
Oh, yeah.
I joke that the reason I became a newsman instead of a DJ was because I really didn't much care to do research about artists and things, so here you go.
Well, there you go. You shouldn't have to do any research at all for the news stuff.
I'm really much better at general knowledge trivia, but we seem to gravitate toward the music trivia nights for some reason.
Yeah, that's the big push nowadays. It'll be some kind of different trivia here before too long, and we'll still be fourth from last. But as long as we don't have the last place balloons.
There you go.
But we did for that, one round.
That's another good name for you, by the way. We will still be fourth from last.
We'll still be fourth from last.
Anyway, but that was a good time. And I'm sure there are probably some more trivia nights coming up. And all those types of things are on our community events page at WGIL.com. If I can get in the shameless plug.
One of
my other duties here.
But, come out and see us. We'll be playing. You might see one or both of us there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad to have found a team I could be on. That is an awfully fun time, no matter how much I stink at music trivia.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, if I'm there, then there's a good chance you won't have to be dead last. So, I mean, that's a plus. I mean,
our team was second.
No, my team, not you guys. You guys are at the top end. We're bookending you.
Well, Mark Davis, Steve Davis's brother, knows his stuff.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. He doesn't really need the rest of us, but it must just be the camaraderie.
We need to get our table sitting closer to you guys next time, so we kind of like have his knowledge just kind of osmosis over to us.
I'll see what I can do about that. He likes to get a table close to the back of the room so that he doesn't have to hear anybody else shouting out bad answers.
Oh, I kept saying. I figure if you answer Taylor Swift to every question, eventually you'll have to get one right.
You know, that's a good point. As much as I don't want to give Taylor Swift that much credit, but anyway, back to the serious issues at hand here, since we just took up way too much time talking about what we do in our spare time. Nonetheless, we were talking about elections in the primary election here in the last segment, and just kind of moving forward here, there's your counterparts in the Galesburg Election Commission have been sort of in the news here lately, and it's kind of, for folks who don't know, there's been kind of a discussion, I think, that has been brought up in the county board that maybe it's time to bring both election offices together, and in response to that, now the Election Commission has filed suit so that they can get some pay raises that were owed to them that haven't been paid out. I keep thinking about the uniqueness of the fact that there were only eight such election commissions in the state, like Galesburg. Is it necessary?
Do you think
to continue to have that sort of separation of the elections?
Well, I think it's down to six now.
Is it six?
I think your Aurora Election Commission, just this last election, was voted out of existence.
Oh, okay.
So they're starting to dwindle down, and it's a tricky waters for me to travel down. The election commissions actually certify the results to me, and then my office is the election authority for the county, then certifies everything out for the full county into the state. So we work closely with the election commission groups to make sure that the elections are right, because they're in the same business as we are. We just do a few more things than that office does. But there's always the debate of do they need to exist, do they not need to exist, and it's if they get it onto the ballot to let the voters decide, it's a voter's decision. I just know that wherever the decision falls, we're going to make sure that the Knox County elections are done to the best of our ability and fair, accurate, and concise and precise.
And that's not to say that Lisa Watson and her staff in her office don't do a fine job.
They
work probably just as hard as you do to get these elections done and whatnot, but. You know, on the one hand, you know, you kind of wonder about the redundancy, I guess, of it all. But, you know, on the other hand, it would save me a lot of time and heartache having to not to use a calculator on election night to determine unofficial vote totals.
Oh, yeah. And we, no matter how much we tell some of these other outlets.
Yeah, some of the other media outlets will never seem to get that there are two election authorities in Galesburg.
And it seems to be the Quad City side that gets the worst. And they'll run the TV stuff. They'll have their tickers across the bottom of the screen. They've declared a winner. And it's like, well, they won the city. They lost the county.
Mm-hmm.
And the county was higher numbers than the city numbers. So the county candidate actually did win.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, the elections are in. And it's like, no, you just didn't count all your numbers.
I used to have times when I was news director where, you know, some of those outlets would call me and ask me some of these questions. And I'd have to tell them that, you know, there were two election authorities here. And they'd be like, oh, really? Yeah.
It's like we call it one. How have you not known this, and you've been doing elections for as long as I have?
Yeah. And every time they talk to us, we tell them, now you realize that these results do not include city numbers, and they still run it as it's the gospel truth. And I was like, no, come on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your fact-checking, and your research doesn't go too far with that.
That's why WGIL is your election authority.
Election authority. Big E, big A.
Yeah.
Election authority.
Well, maybe. Don't know about that. But well, we do try awfully hard on election night. But, not to get too inside baseball, but we, try to put together spreadsheets so we can make the data compilation a little easier. And, I'm really not much of a spreadsheet guy, and I have to think about this once a year. Go, how do I do this again?
At least you don't have an abacus or anything trying to do all that. I mean, you've moved.
Just got rid of the abacus last year. We finally decided that we were done for trying to use that.
But yeah, that's probably a good plan. Move forward a little bit, more modernization.
I'd like to use the calculator on my digital watch from 1984. So.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Exactly. I mean, it looks like I'm kind of still space age when I wear it. So,
Texas Instruments one we made, except now I'm having a little trouble seeing those little buttons.
It'd be I know, right? Rough. It's heck getting old, isn't it? But so I thought I'd get a little bit of your perspective on that. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens here. It would take a lot of work, though, wouldn't it, if there was to be a measure of some sort to try to combine the two offices? Like, it would be a referendum.
It'd have to be a referendum. Right? Yeah, there's statutory requirements in place to address those election commissions, to create them and to dissolve them. And it would require a ballot initiative. Voters in the city of Galesburg would vote. And then if it was a simple majority was successful in saying, yes, we want to abolish the city election law, then just like in Aurora, it would roll into the county clerk's office. We would absorb those duties and responsibilities.
Would that wouldn't put much work on you if that were to happen, would it?
We're already doing the election stuff as it is now. It just would be same work, just a little bit higher numbers with vote totals and voters we're dealing with.
Okay. Before I take a break, I know you wanted to talk again about your need for election judges.
Yes, we're always out on the lookout for election judges. It's a very important part of the election process. We can't run elections without them. And our election judges, we love them to death. But unfortunately, some of them are starting to get a little bit older. Some of them are deciding that the cold weather's not for them, and they're going to warmer climates during those off months.
You want to run a Knox County election from Florida, is what you're saying?
I've tried. there's some statutory requirement that I got to be present in the county.
There's got to be another ballot or referendum or something
like that. But if anyone's interested, we're always looking for election judges. Please contact our office. We'll be happy to get you information on what an election judge does, what a day kind of looks like, and get you involved. And actually, you get paid.
And it's really just, you're thinking, one or two days a year, depending on how many elections there are, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. We do training classes for the judges, so you'll be able to get trained. You learn how the machines work. You learn what we kind of do during the day on the processes. And it's a long day, but it's a very it's very important.
Yeah, the election usually runs from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., but it starts much earlier than that.
The election judges, we want them there by 5:30. I mean, we're usually in the office by 5, and then polls close at 7, about an hour to wrap stuff up. And then if we're lucky, we get out of the courthouse by 10:30.
Wow. And then you sleep in the next day, right?
Oh, I'm back first thing in the morning. We open the doors at 8:30 the next morning.
Darn. Of course, I'm room to talk. I worked mornings here for years after elections. I understand.
Oh, yeah. You're hardcore, though.
Not anymore. No. No. Used to be. No, that part of my life is gone, but hey, that's all right. What's your number in case anybody wants to be a judge?
309-345-3858. That'll get you right to our elections office.
Again, 345-3858 to contact the Knox County Clerk if you want to be an election judge. We'll take a break. We'll talk about some other things Scott Erickson is up to these days as Knox County Clerk when we come back. It is 7:50. You're listening to Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning here at WGIL. Good morning.
Galesburg's News. Galesburg's Talk. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
At 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. Galesburg Live continues. I'm Will Stevenson, host of Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights 5 to 6 p.m. In our final few minutes here with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson this hour, local author Jeannie Hanna joins us at around 8:15, so listen in for that. How are things other than elections going in your office these days? Scott, I know you said you only have a little bit of time to breathe once the election's done, but I know you're it doesn't mean you don't have things to do.
Oh, no. We're always working in the office. We're always doing projects, getting things going. And county board just approved last Wednesday this the compensation study project. The company out of Maryland is actually going to – it was the successful bidder for that. So they're going to be doing some compensation studies for non-union positions. And part of that deal is they have to have a contact person in the county that's going to be their conduit.
Oh, lucky you.
So guess who drew the straw?
You know, I guess I kind of understand the need and the concern here that maybe some department heads are getting paid less than some of their subordinates. But on the other hand, there's the part of me that goes, oh, you're spending this money to pay for this study that could be going toward, oh, I don't know, salaries.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're looking to try to categorize and solidify and get some structure and bracketing of things and levels of different stuff for these positions that don't necessarily have that functionality right now. And Whiteside County had did a study similar to this a few years ago, and it was able to help them with their budgeting. They're able to know, okay, this position falls into this pay grade and you can expect to start at this rate. And the top end is going to be this rate, and you can fluctuate between that with your years of service and different things. So it'll hopefully be a nice tool to be able to help the board with their budgeting down the line.
Yeah, I imagine it's kind of – I think of the school district, and I know that they have different salary schedules and things like that. I'm guessing that's what you're hoping to create here.
I think that's what they're looking to do, is to kind of do something similar to that nature. So we'll be funneling information back and forth with them, and the company, we had three bidders, and this company seems to be they're very, very – it's a family-owned business. It's a husband and wife team and with other staff. And they're like – they've mapped graphs and scatter plots and all this stuff, and they're like, holy cow.
Oh, enough to make my head explode.
Yeah, I was just like that's just weird at the committee meeting. It's like, so I did tell them they're going to need somebody that's going to be a contact person for that. And so you need to figure out who's going to do that. And before I could duck under the table, they'd all say, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll do her for you. What the heck?
The clerk. Yeah. Well, just what I need. One more thing to do before another election. Super.
Oh, yeah.
But how long is that going to take?
Hopefully they'll have it done by September.
Okay.
So it'll go fast and furious for the summer months. And then, we got another project we're kind of looking at. We've been wanting, it's been in the hopper for a while, but we're going to try to take the county resolutions and ordinances and things. And there's like the city of Galesburg has all their records codified. So you can go to their website.
Yeah.
If you want to look up for dog ordinances, I can go to their site, search the database thing, and find the dog ordinance section.
Mm-hmm.
The county doesn't have that. We investigated a few years ago about getting that done.
I know you started doing some of it yourself, right?
We did a little bit. We started working our way towards that. The company to do that was going to charge us about $10,000, and I was going to do all the work. They're basically just going to publish it, put it together, and make it into a fancy book. That's our theme today.
Pay you to be a supervisor.
So it's like, I'm not going to spend $10,000 of taxpayer money for me to do all of the work.
It doesn't seem logical.
No.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it a lot. We're going to do it in-house at a lot cheaper, but it's one of those projects that it's just like, oh, we'll start a little bit here, and then something else pops up. Well, now – I want to try to get this thing pushed along and moving a little bit farther and make it a little bit easier, because we start getting a lot of phone calls about different ordinances and things. And if we can have one spot they can land in, it's going to make it a lot easier for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. So it's laudable that you wanted to try to do it yourself, but I imagine it just got to the point where you had to throw up your hands and cry uncle.
It's like, well, they wanted us to organize all this stuff, and it's like, well, you just send us all the – because I figured we'd just give them the records, they'd figure out what we're doing with it. Oh, no, you've got to put it in the exact way you want it, and then we'll – so I'm doing all your work for you. No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So yeah, maybe now it's time to look at somebody else doing all the work so you can focus on other things.
Well, we're still going to do it in-house. If we can avoid spending those funds, we're going to avoid it, because everything comes out of the office is taxpayer-generated money. And, and I have a real stickler about frivolously spending taxpayer dollars, because it came out of somebody's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of my pocket, it came out of your pocket, it came out of your listener's pocket. And it's like, I don't want to just willy-nilly start throwing money at stuff and not have it really thought out and planned out.
Exactly. Recently, I know you finally got the county board meetings moved to City Hall. That's gone well.
Oh, it's gone great.
Great.
Everybody's mic'd, and they're all facing the audience now.
Like the city council when they remember to turn on their microphones.
I'm not saying anything about that because we're still learning the process, too. We've got some extra – we fill up all the spots there on the dais and everything on the sides. So we've got some remote mics.
Yeah.
So my IT guys are in the control room, and they're clicking buttons to try to turn microphones on and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're getting there. But we appreciate the city allowing us to come and use the location. It's great. And eventually,
have you figured out how to hack in and get the meetings on Channel 7 yet?
We've talked about it, and it will cost us the county some money to do that. But it's probably in the works. We'll probably look at budgeting for that for next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'm going to videotape myself, put it all on DVD, then I can have my own DVD video collection of county boards through the ages.
Wow, that's...
To go along with my two-page book of...
That's really something. Wow, I'm glad we're ending on that note. Whew, boy. But glad things are going well otherwise in your office.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Scott Erickson, Knox County Clerk. Glad to see you. We'll have you back as always sometime.
Anytime, Will. Glad to do it. Thanks.